dude. I made a mountain, big mountain, out of that little molehill.
No one come to bed.
No, I can't.
I gotta figure it out.
I'm looking up aircraft carriers for sale.
More vegans in the Volkswagen community than probably any other sector in the car,
especially the wagons.
The all-new Scout Trespass.
Trespass. Go where you're not allowed to go. The original Scout was... Are you looking at your phone?
I'm turning on Do Not Disturb. I'm sorry.
This week, we're celebrating the Volkswagen Golf's 50th birthday, looking at the return of Scout and discussing the huge Dodge Charger announcement from last week. We'll also fill you in on the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix and how a Ford van broke a bunch of records. But first, let's talk about Bugatti's new 16-cylinder engine. Welcome to the Big Three. Episode 2.
Yeah. Still working out the bugs.
The cast still isn't here. Yeah.
We'll get there eventually. By the way, that's Justin.
Oh, yeah.
That's James.
I took Nolan's seat, but I forgot to do the thing. All right. I'm James Pumphrey. This is Nolan Sykes.
And Justin.
And then
Freeman.
Justin Freeman.
Yes.
Joe is in Paris.
Paris with his lover.
Join the French Foreign Legion.
Yeah.
They're both criminals.
With his pregnant fiance. Yeah,
his pregnant fiance and Joe just joined the French Foreign Legion.
Yeah.
His name's probably not Joe anymore.
No.
Yeah, last week I had Omicron.
Omicron?
Yeah, I was riddled with Omicron.
How'd that feel?
It was the best.
Is that a bunch of tiny transformers?
Uh-huh.
Just crawling.
I had COVID last week. I had never had COVID before, and this is the first time I ever had it.
Wow.
Yeah, dude. Freaking more like Fundemic. I had a blast. I watched so many movies.
Yeah.
Hung out with my lady.
Yeah.
Nice. Yep. It's fun.
Good.
If you're both sick, who takes care of you?
We took care of each other.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah. I was expecting Luna.
Everyone pulled their weight. No, the dog sleeps on the bed now though.
Oh.
Yep.
Someone benefited from this.
Yeah, for sure. She loved it. She had the best time.
I bet. Both of you were home all the time.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Just snugged. Yeah. Straight up. And last night I was like, all right, you got to get out of here.
Straight up, the bed's vertical. Yeah.
I was like, you got to get out of here. And then this morning I was getting ready for work. And I went in the bedroom. We had kicked her off and she's sitting on the corner of her bed, just staring at the floor. She's a little dramatic.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's like, okay, you had your week of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you had your
it's
week.
It's not your life now. You've got bed vacation, basically.
She thinks it is.
Yeah.
All right, Bugatti recently announced a replacement power plant for their legendary 8-liter quad-turbo W16 that has been in all Bugatti cars since 2005. Now, unlike the old W16, the new engine will be a V16 assisted by a hybrid system. Bugatti stayed tight-lipped over the new engine's exact specs, but German publication Auto Motor und Sport claims it will be a naturally aspirated 8.3-liter.
Wow.
A V16 rather than V16. A
V16, yeah, sounds like an old Cadillac.
You got to drive a Veyron.
I drove a Chiron.
That was a Chiron.
A Chiron.
That has a W16, correct?
Yes.
How big was it in person?
The car?
The car itself, yeah. Like
relatively big. I mean, it's like big for a hypercar, okay. Definitely. Smaller than you'd think. It's like one of those cars, the proportions look very like...
On camera, it looks enormous.
It's not enormous. Yeah. It's pretty small.
It's like a super bug.
I'm just thinking, with a V16 configuration rather than W, because with a W, you have, you know... It's basically half the length almost because with V, that's eight cylinders in a row.
Yeah, because they're stacked like, they're like VR6s where they're like, it's not actually a W, but
Well, that's going to be a longer car than it's like, maybe.
Yeah.
Unless
the liters are smaller.
It's bigger. It has more displacement. Instead of an 8-liter, it's an 8.3.
With no turbos, though.
No turbos, though.
Because you don't need turbos when you have... electronics assistant.
Yeah, and I think the Chiron, like the W16 has like 16 radiators or something.
Yeah,
so you might save some room there.
Imagine trying to bleed that system.
Well,
that sounds terrible.
Yeah, well, you got a guy.
Yeah. Yeah. At that point.
Now there's still one of those
that price
burping
point.
Things on there.
You're not touching that car besides driving it.
Yeah, there's something, there. Dude, there's like 13 oil drain plugs.
That's insane.
Yeah. It was one of the coolest cars I've ever driven.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah. Anyway, Mate, who I hung out with in Geneva, that guy knows who I am, said that the he does. The Remat guy?
Yeah.
Big fan of Donut.
Yeah. I know.
Big fan
yeah.
of Donut. The crankshaft is 3.3 feet, a meter long.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's obviously confusing.
No, I mean, that. Look, when it comes to like long crankshafts too,
nice.
Probably going to have to be more bolstering. You know, you don't want it to like flex under load.
Yeah, for sure.
It's going to be crazy.
A lot of balancing.
I wonder if the...
A lot of integrity
Those
issues.
Rods are probably going to be kind of skinny too. I mean, there's like space is probably the biggest thing that I'm thinking about right now when it comes to the length of this engine.
Yeah.
I mean...
That's yeah, the dumbest dude, that's thing what, I've ever said. That's what they've been thinking about too.
Well, no, I'm just like curious to see little tricks they pull to make this thing happen.
Well, the engine looks insane. Have you seen it?
I've not seen it.
Dude, it's gorgeous.
I'm imagining it right now, and it looks pretty sick.
Like, remember when we drove the 918, and like we were all just like, "Oh my god, yeah. I can't believe they made carbon fiber this shape."
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like this is like next level. Like all the intake runners are like carbon fiber.
Very cool.
Like the plenum's carbon fiber. It's so sick looking, and it sounds much different than the W16.
Really?
Yeah, I actually have a clip.
Ooh.
Whoa! There it is.
Oh, that does sound good.
Yeah, so when you drive...
Whoa, it sounds like a marine engine almost.
Uh-huh. It's like a lot more high-strung than the W16.
Well, it's naturally aspirated again, right? Mm-hmm. So that makes sense.
It would have to be.
Yeah, that's very cool. Play it one more time. I want to hear that again. Please. Please.
You can't wait to race that in a video game.
Dude. That's so cool.
Yeah, all that carbon is nice.
Oh my god, look at that thing.
It looks like
a rib cage.
Yeah, like an alien spider.
Oh my god. Okay. Yeah, I'm on board. Yeah, put me down for one of these.
You down for the Bugatti?
Yep, yeah, I'm down.
I got to put my $100 down.
Yeah, let me get a deposit on that. No, that's sick. I can't wait to hear that.
Well, the W16 like wasn't hypercar-y feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Like hypercars sound more like that, like bah, 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 bah.
Right.
And the W16 was more like a train. So
that
like
makes sense.
Like
it chugged.
Well, yeah, it was just like and you could tell like from zero that the intention of this car was to get to 230 miles per hour or whatever. Yeah. Like top speed was the goal. And it just like I equated it to like the Empire State Building. Like it was just like an engineering marvel with like one thing, like one intention in mind. I don't know if like being the fastest car in the world is the intention for this car, just given that engine sound and the fact that it is naturally aspirated. Mm-hmm. So I am curious to see if it is like the same thing as like a Chiron or a Veyron, or if Bugatti is making something like quote unquote more like drivable and more traditionally hypercar-y to like compete with other hypercars.
Sounds like they're going like a Koenigsegg route with it.
Right.
Maybe.
In a lot of ways.
Yeah.
The outgoing Bugatti W16 is basically two narrow VR8 blocks, which are based off of the iconic Volkswagen VR6 engine. So it's one of the best engines ever made. Versions of the VR6 have been used in everything from Porsche Cayenne to the new Beetle, but most notably in the Volkswagen Corrado and the Volkswagen Golf. Speaking of golf... Volkswagen, surprise, surprise, has an anniversary. Volkswagen loves anniversaries.
They do.
You know what Volkswagen does? They celebrate the anniversary in Europe and in the United States.
Oh, wow.
Double dip.
So they have like two 25th anniversaries that are like fun. 5 years apart.
You can take all the stuff you bought for the first anniversary in Europe and then just save those party,
they make
set pieces and bring them over here.
The decorations.
Yeah, all like decorations.
Party set pieces. Yeah. Decorations. Easier way to say that. Yes. Thank you, Justin.
Set piece. You're just in the biz.
I'm too, dude.
You're just an industry guy.
Baby.
You can't turn it off.
Nope.
Now there'll be like a 25th anniversary golf, and you'll be like, oh, what's there's that. But then there's the 25th anniversary golf over here.
Mm-hmm.
Will they be different or the same?
They're different.
Oh,
they're
different. I wonder if there's ever been a car company that celebrated the anniversary of an anniversary, where it's like, hey, this is the
25th anniversary of the 25th.
I bet there's like a 25th anniversary Bullet Mustang or something like that.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Where it's like, hey, we built this car on the 20th anniversary of the Bullet film, but now we're celebrating the release of that car.
That's definitely an American car company kind of thing, like convoluted celebration. Yeah.
I would do that.
This year marks the Volkswagen Golf's 50th birthday everywhere. The car debuted in 1974 as a replacement for the Beetle. Even the base model has been praised over the years, but the Golf is best known for defining the hot hatch segment with its GTI variant.
Ooh.
GTI and R models are widely loved for their performance in a practical package, which has perhaps defined the Golf. Volkswagen actually stopped selling non-performance models of the Golf in the U.S. beginning with the 8th generation in 2022.
Boo.
You just want a base one?
No. Why'd they stop?
They stopped selling non-performance.
Oh.
Only R's and GTIs.
What does GTI stand for?
Grand Touring Injection.
Ooh.
Yeah. You didn't think
just
I knew
going
that.
Right into the
bloodstream. You didn't think Grand Touring Injection means fuel injection and Grand Touring.
Why do we have to still specify? This is probably a traditional kind of thing.
Still have to do it.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
But that's like a thing that the backs of cars always have the newest technology. Like,
yeah.
Early cars had like automatic on the back
or Explorer.
Turbo.
Yeah, turbo was a big one. Yeah. Turbo's still kind of a thing. Cars used to say dual overhead cam. Like, Honda Civics, like EM1s. Like 2000 Honda Civic SI coupes say DOHC down the side of it.
Yep. My Subaru has all wheel drive because it was the new technology.
Yeah, whatever
for
the new technology, like the advertising.
Before it was four wheel drive, so that makes sense.
Yeah,
interesting.
And then it just carries until they create something else. Huh?
All right, so we are currently on our 8th generation Golf. I know I have my favorite generations. What are yours?
Is it the Mark III that you have? I like the Mark III and Mark IV. I like Mark IV a lot, too.
Yeah, same. The R32?
Yeah.
Is it? Yeah, that one. That one's pretty dope. Yeah. TDIs are a cheat code. They really are. My buddy drives up and down the East Coast.
Oh, yeah, you've told me about this.
And he gets 50 to the gallon.
Yeah, first car I ever drove in L.A. was a diesel Golf.
It was like a little rally car, but it had a 4,500 RPM red line or whatever it was. It was fun. Great car.
So much fun. Easy to work on, too. Super simple.
They're great cars. No wonder they've been around for 50 years.
Whoa. who would have thought?
Current GTI makes 241 horsepower to 0 to 60 in 5.7 seconds. R makes 315 horsepower to 0 to 60 in 3.9 seconds. And unfortunately, both the R and the GTI are going to not be manual for 2025.
Is that worldwide or just us?
I can't imagine they get rid of the manual in the world.
Okay, so it's
they
just
love
us.
It out there. They love shifting gears.
But you also got Volkswagen Group automatics are like pretty much all good, right?
Generally at this point. So. It just seems like a car that you should just stick it.
Yeah, especially
out.
If the target audience for, especially the Golf R, that's someone who wants to row their own gears, you know?
Right.
They're not looking for something that's going to be necessarily the fastest on the
until they're trying to beat supercars.
I mean, I could see, a Golf R, because they made the Mark V Golf R only came with a not manual.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, I could see, the Golf R is, the fast boy. Mm-hmm. So, I could see, be like, all right, it's DSG.
Yeah.
It does 0 to 60 in 3.2. Mm-hmm. It's way too fast for what it is. Height of technology, all-wheel drive. But, a GTI, I think you need to offer a manual.
The only people I've ever seen drive Golf R's,
tall,
glasses.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Running shoes.
Race car shoes?
Not Pilotes, no. Just
Sauconys. Cool kind of hipster.
I'm an engineer. Engineers drive Golf R's.
Oh, for sure. Tight pants.
Yeah, tight pants. Yeah, definitely.
Golf, Volkswagen guys love tight pants. Mm-hmm. Always have. Always will. A lot of vegans. More vegans in the Volkswagen community than probably any other sector in the car.
Especially the wagons.
Yeah, people who modify Volkswagens, mm-hmm. they're like metal vegans.
I was going to say, oh. they probably love like Converge or At the Drive-In.
Oh, they love At the Drive-In. Yeah. Big, more gauges per capita.
I think that sounds true. I'm not going to look it up.
Black There's tight no, pants, yeah. gauged earrings.
Jane Doe vegan, t-shirt.
Jane Doe t-shirt. Yeah. I'm getting interviewed for a Volkswagen zine, and I'm describing the editor-in-chief right now. This is a guy who makes memes about how 16-inch wheels are too big.
Oh, my goodness.
Runs 13s.
Wow.
Yeah. Golfs have no shortage of crazy special editions. They are freaking happy for them, baby. They love them. They made the one-off mid-engine W12 Golf. It was 6.5 inches wider than a standard Mark V, 0 to 60 in less than 4 seconds, top speed of 201. They also made the famous Mark III Harlequin.
I want one of those. I would like a Harlequin Volkswagen at some point.
You would?
Mm-hmm.
And you get a Momo Benetton steering wheel.
Yeah, sign me up.
People love Harlequins.
Yeah, they're cool.
You know,
Chloe really likes them. She's like, that's a cute car. I'm like, okay, I'll get one.
By definition, it is like it's very cute. Very cute.
Yeah.
That is cute.
They're importing the polos now.
VR6.
One. Yeah, the polos are 25. Polos. Well, the polos are Harlequins.
Harlequin?
H-A-R-L-E-K-I-N.
Whoa.
Ooh. And then the Golfs are Harlequins with a Q.
Interesting. Why?
I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe it's an American.
Maybe it's like an English.
Oh, German and English.
German and English.
Yes, the polos are German. Because we spell specific clowns differently. It's one of the things we did.
Just
we
were call like, it the jester.
Hey, this specific clown name isn't fancy enough. Yeah. We're going to add a Q to
Harlequin.
It.
Right.
Harlequin.
Harlequin.
Germans are all about business.
Harlequin.
Harlequin. There is the Harlequin Golf, there's a rumor that those were made for the 1996 Olympics to cart athletes back and forth to the games.
Interesting.
That's why they're the color of the rings.
I want a car with a VR6 at some point.
I do too. I've been thinking about it a lot lately. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of rear-wheel drive swaps now.
Yeah. Well, VR6s handle boost very well.
Very well.
Mm. Yep. And I think it would be cool to have like a 180 SX with like a VR6.
That'd be neat.
Or like an E30 with a VR6.
Scotto was building that A86.
A80 VR6.
That makes sense for him.
It was so cool.
You should do the 180. You know, bring it all together for your kind of car journey.
The 280 SX.
Yeah.
Scout Motors factory broke ground in Bythewood, South Carolina. VW acquired the defunct Scout name in 2021 with plans to revive it as an all-electric off-road vehicle brand. The original Scout was... Are you looking at your phone?
I'm turning on Do Not Disturb. I'm sorry. We both got buzzed. We got buzzed. I'm sorry. I'm on Do Not Disturb now, and I will not be disturbed again.
Oh, my God. Up. Take yourself seriously, gentlemen, or nobody else will. All right?
I take myself just fine.
How do you take your coffee?
Just fine.
Just fine.
Just fine. The original Scout was ahead of its time when it was launched by International Harvester in 1961. Crossovers and SUVs dominate U.S. roads today, but the small, comfortable, and capable Scout 4x4 was essentially the first of its kind, especially compared to the huge Jeep Wagoners and rugged CJs.
I don't know if I'd call that car comfortable. Maybe for the time. But if you've ridden in a Scout recently, pretty rough.
At all.
Justin, as our resident Carolinas expert,
okay,
Bythewood, South Carolina,
never heard of it.
Never heard of Bythewood.
I'm imagining it's near Greenville, South Carolina, somewhere because that's where BMW is.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Clemson and their CUI car and all that stuff is. A lot of technology in that area, but there's actually a north and south. Of South Carolina, they call it like high and low.
North, south, highlands and the lowlands.
Yeah, something like that. There's not a lot of jobs in the Southlands, so everyone has to move north or vice versa. I don't know.
Where's Charleston?
Charleston is on the south side of South Carolina.
Okay.
So there's really nothing else out there.
Besides all the ghosts take the jobs.
Right.
Haunted town.
It is very a beautiful haunted. Place, though.
It is.
Yeah.
We should move there.
Bythewood. I was playing a trip to Charleston, and it was very expensive.
Was it?
The hotels and stuff, yeah.
Huh.
It's a, it, time of year, who knows?
Yeah, I think it was time of year.
Beautiful place, seasonal. Though. Right on the water. It almost looks like Europe in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm. I've heard a lot of people call South Carolina the Europe of America.
So
that makes sense.
Just Savannah, Georgia, and Charleston.
When I moved to LA, my mom lived in Wilmington, North Carolina.
Wilmington's great.
Yeah, and it's really pretty, and they do shoot stuff there. Mm-hmm. They did, like, Dawson's Creek was shot there. Mm-hmm. One Tree Hill was shot there.
Yep.
And my mom was like, you know, you should just move here. They call it Hollywood of the East. And I was like, that's so weird, because they call Hollywood Wilmington of the West. Mom.
I think Atlanta is stealing that title now.
Yeah, Atlanta, definitely. Yeah.
But
anyway, cool.
Yeah, right. I imagine it'll be around there.
Blythewood, hit us up. Maybe we'll move Donut there if you give us some traction. All right, Scout name has been dormant since the last vehicle rolled off the production line in 1980. Vehicle plans include a pickup.
Okay.
And a slate of, quote, rugged SUVs.
Okay.
They filed more than 50 patents for car names. All right, gentlemen, let's think of 50 car names for Scouts. Scout.
Obviously.
Look around.
Boy Scout.
Yes. Ooh, Boy Scout. It's like a littler one.
That's pretty good. Seeker.
That's good. Girl Scout.
Recon. That's more like a Jeep thing, I guess.
Jeep Recon. Scout Recon.
Overlook
instead of Overland.
Crow's Nest.
Ooh.
Binoculars. Scout Telescope.
The Watcher.
Watcher. Yeah. I don't know if I'd buy a Scout Watcher. It's like you're always like in your living room and you look out in your driveway and your car's like facing you.
I thought I parked you on the street.
I was thinking more like Bird Watcher.
Yeah, its headlights are like right in the windows. It's like, hey, let's go explore.
I'm the watcher.
You open the mail slide, it's like.
Yeah. You see its grill, just that's fans like breathing.
Don't you think? Yeah, I mean, it's just watches for now. It just
watches a lot. It likes to watch. You're literally explaining my life with my dog.
It's kind of like a dog. Okay, that makes it more endearing then.
Yeah,
that's creepy.
Maybe they'll name it the dog.
Stalker.
Scout Stalker.
Yeah.
Scout Trespasser.
Scout Trespass. Trespass is like kind of sick.
Trespass is pretty tight. There's like some words that mean bad things that are really sick.
The all new Scout Trespass.
Go where you're
wherever
not
you
allowed
want to go. Nothing go can where, stop you.
Go wherever you want to go.
Yeah.
Scout Trespass. So Volkswagen recently arranged for a few journalists and Scout employees, we actually got invited to this, to make a drive from the original Scout factory in Fort Wayne, Indiana, to the new site in South Carolina in 5 vintage Scouts, 800 miles. They made a few stops at Scout landmarks and even some trails along the way. Dude, 800 miles that in sounds, an old convertible rough, truck. Dude.
Sounds rough.
Would have been a great video for...
I don't know, man.
I don't know, dude.
For Max.
Yeah,
for Max to do. Yeah.
Vehicle production is targeted to begin in late 2026 with models going on sale shortly after.
Dang, that's such a quick turnaround.
Speaking of EV trucks and stuff, big announcements from Rivian this week.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Yeah. R2 looking sick.
That all those cars look great.
But they said they were announcing the R2. They did. That looks sick. But then they pulled something that no one ever does and surprised us with two new cars.
Yeah.
The R3 and the R3X. Both are super sick. Look like Lancia Delta
Integrales. Yeah.
I think they're gonna be a little bit bigger than that though.
Jason Kamisa just had one and he said it's about the size of a Golf.
Really?
Yeah, like a new Golf, like proportionally.
I thought it'd be like the size of an Ioniq 5 or something where it looks small in pictures because it's a hatchback, but then in person they're kind of big.
He actually mentioned the Ioniq 5 and said it's not like that.
No kidding.
Yeah, he's like, specifically, the Ioniq 5 looks small in pictures and is much larger. He's like, this is not the case here. It's about the size of a Golf, it sits higher.
That's really exciting.
Yeah, cool. The interior's a little smaller.
That's great. Yeah. I was like, all right, it's gonna be big. Now I'm like, oh, it's not big.
Super
look at that. Funny how things funny how your feelings change when you learn new information.
Listen, man, exactly. You were concerned about one thing. I and was. Then turns out
then you told that me concern, else.
While valid, it's not the case.
Yeah. Hey, and now I feel better.
You've been
burnt. I was sick maybe over the week. I felt like shit thinking
it's
about that.
It's probably
going to
be big.
And now.
It's probably going to be big.
Now I feel better.
I won't even be able to fit in my garage. It's so big. Dude. Probably going to have to rent an aircraft carrier just to park the damn thing.
Dude, it was so expensive.
It's normal size.
It's normal size. That's great. Yeah, dude, I made a mountain. Big mountain out of that little molehill.
No one come to bed.
No, I can't. I gotta figure it out. I'm looking up aircraft carriers for sale. They're not available. That's sick.
They look sick. They look great. I think
simple
design.
Like you got Elon Musk and Tesla on one end, and then you got Rivian on the other end.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Both of them are kind of like, hey. We are redefining. We don't care what the rules are. We're gonna make cars look like we want them to make. But the Rivian people, I feel like, went to design school mm-hmm. and like cars.
Yes.
Whereas like Elon Musk hates cars and hates anyone who like learned how to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I know how to do everything. Mm-hmm. And we're like, all right, cool,
it's,
dude.
It's the appliance versus like your horse, you know, like uh-huh. Rivian, okay. You like your car.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Tesla, it's this just gets me where I need to go. Well, it's no different than my washing machine. You know,
I think it's just like, hey, people who like cars are fucking idiots.
Yes.
Look at this. I drew this car on a napkin mm-hmm. and then I shit on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Eat it. But it's $1 million.
Yeah.
Yep. I will say we drove a R1T a few years ago. I think it was 2021. It was like shortly after they started making them, uh-huh. like maybe the second year that they've been on the road. And I was like extremely impressed with how complete the car felt as like a product in terms of build quality and everything. It felt like they've been making cars for like 10 years at least.
Yeah.
And I mean, that was only a few years in production. So I'm sure these new ones are going
to
be pretty sweet too.
But for like top to tails, I just am a big Rivian fan. Like I love like the retro, their approach to retro futurism. Mm-hmm. Like it really looks nice. Like old stuff, but it's still very, very new feeling.
Yeah.
And like even their color choices mm-hmm. are mm-hmm. different than everyone else's color. They're
do
green,
they yellow.
They do.
I think they do.
I don't really see it very often.
Like on the green, like even like the drop shadow of the logo mm-hmm. on their cars is like that yellow and mm-hmm. stuff. Just all in all, very good.
Yeah, really
very
cool.
Good stuff. Very good. But now enough about cars we can drive. How about cars we're not allowed to drive? It's time for
really.
News. On Saturday, Formula One traveled to Jeddah for Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. Mm. Now, before we get into the race results, here are some of the biggest F1 updates from the past week.
All right. On Thursday, Carlos Sainz was diagnosed with appendicitis and had to undergo emergency surgery, Justin. It's when they take your appendix out.
Yeah.
How's your appendix?
Quiet.
Quiet.
So far, so good.
It's pretty good.
So, as a response, Ferrari had to call up 18-year-old Oliver Bearman up from Formula 2 to replace Carlos on the grid. Luckily, Carlos's surgery went well. He's good. He was hanging out at the grid, but it's likely he could miss the next race in Melbourne on the 23rd.
This is not ideal timing.
No.
He's currently looking for a new job.
You know, it's never ideal when your appendix decides to just
also appendicitis there's not that many people who drive for F1 and this is now the second appendicitis in the past couple of years
because Alex had it last year
Alex Albon had appendicitis.
That is actually statistically strange.
Is it maybe all the G-forces?
Maybe
it's the halo. I don't know.
Maybe
it's porpoising.
It might be. It might
porpoising
be.
Maybe shook their little appendixes out.
I didn't even think of that. Yeah,
maybe
that's
the
possible.
Race fuel.
Where is your appendix? What does it do?
I have no idea. It has a sack of bacteria in it or something like that.
It's for
a
like,
sack of bacteria.
Is that the raw meat one?
The raw meat one.
Yeah, it's supposed
they're
to
all
break
raw
down.
Meat.
Well, it's supposed to break down an organ
called
without
awful.
Use.
I think it's a, what is it a vestigial organ. Is that the word? Where it's like we have it, but it's not really used.
We don't use it anymore. I think so. Yeah.
So that's why you can live without it just fine. Mm-hmm.
But if it explodes,
yeah, there's a ton of bacteria in there, and it messes you up.
Yeah.
So Bearman, Oliver Bearman, qualified on pole for the F2 race before he was called up. Very cool.
Very good weekend.
Yeah, he did well. Mm. We'll get to that, I think.
Friday, Audi announced that they have fully bought out Sauber. Audi was originally slated to become an engine supplier for Sauber and partial stakeholder in time for the 2026 regulation changes, but they announced Friday that, yo, we don't like how your car looks, so we're just going to take it all.
I understand. Sometimes, let's say you're buying, computer parts. Uh-huh. You're like, I'll just buy this graphics card right now just in case I build a PC in the future because it's at a good price.
It's
and then
funny
you're like,
you
then
bring
you're
up,
like, screw it. I'll just buy the whole dang thing right now.
On a car channel.
It's just like buying from a car.
Well, sure.
And the dude goes, hey, man, for another $200, you can have the whole thing.
That's true. Computer PC gaming PCs are like hot rods for your desk.
Yeah,
like
very relatable to
that
our
is
audience.
True.
Yeah.
You guys love your little games and your sodas. Cracking open your sodas, taking your shirts off, talking to your friends on your hat. You put on your hat and you talk to your friends and drink your sodas. That's what you boys do, huh?
I love it.
So there was like some back and forth. People were not sure if Audi were actually going to get into it because Audi has like not followed through a few times.
We are
going to
get into it.
We are going to get into it. We swear. Because Audi was going to return to Le Mans.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't.
Hmm.
They just pulled out of Formula E. They pulled out of touring cars with the end of the R8 GT3 program. So people were like, does Audi even want to race?
Mm.
And Friday they were like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, dude. Turns out
we do.
We were consolidating some fundage because we're about to enter the Spenso race.
A big opportunity came and I had to sell off some stuff to
so
take advantage.
My question is how did Audi get in but Cadillac got pushed?
Oh, man.
Well, one, they bought a team that is already in.
Yeah. That's part of it.
So that's part of it.
Mm.
Two, I think that the FIA doesn't like Americans.
Naturally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, Sauber's been around for a very long time, and Audi will just use the existing Audi will use the existing Sauber infrastructure that's there, like all the factory, all the staff and everything there. It'll just have like the Audi team name on it. Obviously, they'll bring in some Audi Motorsports people into the group, but it's already established, whereas with Andretti, they will have to build their own factory. They'll have to hire all the new staff and everything.
Gotcha.
It doesn't replace another team. Like, the amount of teams is still there. It doesn't add to the grid. It's just like...
Yeah, the Cadillac team would have added another team.
Yeah.
Right. So, Audi just has to build a motor, and that's pretty
basically,
much
yeah.
Basically, yeah. And that's what they were going to do initially,
and they didn't.
Well, that's what the plan was that they announced like a while ago, that they were going to start doing that for 2026. On Friday, they were like, turns out we're just going to buy the
whole
team. Whole
hog.
Yeah.
Cool.
And the car looks sick. And I like having more like car companies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. F1.
So we'll only have to deal with that Kick logo for like one more season.
Yeah.
And then Audi. Yeah.
You'll be orangish red.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Speaking of orangish red.
Uh-huh.
Did you see that picture of Christian Horner's wiener?
I was on your couch when I did.
All right, finally. The ongoing Red Bull drama, infighting at the team, continued this week. Everyone's favorite weird dad, Jos Verstappen, doubled down on his opinion that Christian Horner should leave the team on Wednesday. And on Friday, it was revealed Red Bull had suspended the employee who accused Horner of inappropriate behavior, which I think is a weird move.
Yeah, not a good
move. That's a weird move.
Not a good look.
Yeah.
Bad.
But like, what's going on behind the scenes? Well, I don't know if you guys talked about this last week. There's like the rumor that there's a love triangle between Jos,
I heard that as well,
and this woman and Christian.
He's just jealous.
And that sounds like too convenient to be true. Yeah. Like, as in terms of a narrative around this whole thing,
too convenient. But also, like, I think if if Drive to Survive has done one thing for me, mm-hmm. is really brought these gods down to mm-hmm. earth. And it's a traveling circus. There's only so many people around. We saw through the text that it's not like these guys have game.
No.
I could totally see Jos Verstappen being like, I'm dating her now.
Sure.
You want to go. Mm-hmm. Like, they are not cool guys.
No, no.
Sounds like fan fiction.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, that sounds pretty speculative. But, I mean,
reality is stranger than fiction.
That's true. That's been proven to be true.
Yeah.
It's a scientific fact.
At one point last week, it also looked like Red Bull advisor Helmut Marko might be suspended for alleged information leaks.
Interesting.
But on Saturday, Marko stated that he had met with CEO Oliver Mitzlaff and everything had been cleared up and that he was committed to the team.
Okay. I think ultimately, in terms of the team's performance this year, I doubt it's going to
implode matter.
Yeah, I doubt it's gonna matter. The car itself is like so good and Max is so good. I think he's cruising on his way already to another title.
My thought is this is all just normal stuff that happens in F1, like you're saying. It's bringing them all down, but because they're winning so much, everyone's making it.
That's true. I mean, if it was a team like Haas or something, it would still come up and we'd still talk about it, but it wouldn't be as big a deal because who cares.
Yeah, Max is under contract to the end of 2028.
Wow.
Maybe he has a escape clause.
He does have a few escape clauses.
A few of them.
Yeah. Mm. So if certain people leave, he's allowed to leave.
I see.
I could also see like them having inside information about a 2026 car mm-hmm. and being more open mm-hmm. to Max racing somewhere else like Mercedes. That's the big rumor is that Max is going to take Lewis's seat at Mercedes because Mercedes hasn't even mentioned anyone relatively seriously to replace the winningest driver in the history of the sport.
Keeping it on the DL.
Yeah.
Yeah. See. That would be insane. If Max goes to Mercedes and then Mercedes is good again, would be the saddest thing that's ever happened.
To Lewis?
To in the entire sport.
think. Why?
And that includes all those people dying at Le Mans.
Different sport.
That is different.
Yeah. You good?
Yeah, I had had to take my cat to the vet this morning.
Very long sucked. Morning.
Yeah, yeah. My day started earlier than I wanted it to.
So, how did our guys do in Saudi Arabia? Mine didn't do very good.
Oscar did okay. Sergio did very well, second place.
Yeah,
yeah.
Alex got ninth.
He got points?
No.
Oh,
Lewis got ninth. So Lewis got a couple of points, and then Alex got 11th.
Okay. Yeah.
Not very good, but Alex doesn't even have an appendix anymore. So,
who's the winner now?
Yeah, he got a little press from a cheeky little tweet that he sent to Carlos.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
He said, hey, if you need a surgeon, I know a guy. Which, you know, under the circumstances, isn't as funny as he could have been. Everyone talks about how charming this kid is.
What would you do?
Huh?
Well, how would you tweet that?
Weight reduction.
Yeah, dude, that's good. See, I would have.
How much does an appendix weigh?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Dude, weight something. Yeah. Weight reduction. That's what I would have done. That. Be like, don't worry. There's like this TikTok going around. I think Alex posted it or like reposted it or something. But there's like how Alex Albon's appendicitis led to Lewis going to Ferrari. It holds up.
Yeah.
Stacks. Follow the money.
Butterfly effect.
Yeah. Mm. Max Verstappen won. It's boring.
Yeah. It was boring.
It's so boring. Like, what the hell? So why is he so much faster than even Perez? Is he just, like, that good?
Well, yes, he's that good. He is that good. But mm-hmm. also, like, the car has been tailored to his driving style.
Right.
Famously, Max has a very different, hard to, like, he likes a car that's a little more loose. Mm-hmm. So, tail happy. And it's hard for other drivers to kind of compensate for that. Yeah. Especially when it is like so just like a razor's edge in terms of the car. That's I think what it's been described as. You got to be just on it and know exactly what the car is going to do. So Sergio, I mean, I think Sergio is a pretty decent driver.
It's so Ricky Bobby right now.
It's crazy.
Like finishing 1-2, like shake and bake. Like it's so dull.
I think this is the cycle of the sport though, is like we have, rules change first. one or two years are really exciting, and then a team
just cracks it.
Cracks it, gets out ahead. I mean, it happened with Mercedes from 2014 to 2022, basically. They just dominated the sport. And I think maybe newer viewers who came in just off the heels of, like, Drive to Survive aren't really aware of that. I mean, you look back. Another bit huge factor is that the cars are, like, way more reliable than they've ever been.
Yeah, like cars didn't used to finish as much.
Yeah, I mean, even in 2014, especially with that new V6 hybrid drive, they'd finish, like, maybe more than half of the races, but not all of them. Yeah. They certainly wouldn't
win. Maybe Ferrari should build all the cars.
Maybe. Or maybe. Justin, I think you've cracked it.
Well, I think they should require them to be less reliable.
I mean, how do you do that? How do you enforce that?
You give, like, me 15 minutes.
Just kind of like turn some wrenches.
Yeah, on Saturday morning or Sunday morning. It's like
you have like a little water spray bottle. You're just like spraying random shit. Yeah.
How'd you do? Well, I don't know. Pumphrey hasn't come by yet. Yeah. Surprisingly, it was a good weekend for Ferrari as well. Charles Leclerc took P3 and Behrman, subbing in for Sainz, finished an impressive P7 after starting 11th in his first F1 race ever.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, no, it was a great race.
Imagine being all those other dudes that just been in the back of the pack forever, and then this F2 guy comes. And
I mean, I was seeing online someone was saying, like, it just, his performance really shows how much fun it is when, like, there's a big shakeup, or, like, it'd be cool to just have, like, what if we got, like, five young guys in there at the same time, all hungry, all wanting to prove themselves.
Well, 'cause last season, the alternate for Daniel.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing Liam Lawson back. Like,
what if that was a rule, like, one race, at least one race a year, and they don't have to do it all at the same time. Yeah. It's, like, part of the strategy, but you have to race your alternate.
That'd be really cool. Yeah. I think that'd be super exciting, especially if you had more than one on the grid at the same time.
Because I've thought that too, like, with especially with all this talk of, like, contracts ending and people moving teams, like, it just seems like we've been talking about the same dudes forever, and the same dudes keep winning, and then, like, all these other guys everyone talks about, like, well, he sucks. Like, well, then there's only so many spots and there's a million people who want to do it, so like, why are we still talking about, like, the same, like, 12 guys essentially?
You,
like,
why
is Daniel Ricciardo on his seventh team?
Yeah,
you know, when there's all these young guys just beer man
chomping at the bit,
like, waiting to go.
I think experience also counts for a lot.
Oh, you sound like the old guard.
No, but, like,
you sound like Jos Verstappen.
We did a little breakdown, or, like, an analysis on Nick DeVries' season last year on DRS, and, you know, what we found is, at least on Red Bull, historically, for every rookie driver, after about 10 races, no matter how good they are in the front half, they always fall off.
Really?
In the second half of the season. It's because, like, I think you just need to build that grit up. You need to build the endurance to race these cars all year. And
well, that's one thing that
it's, like, risky for a team to do that. Like, especially Ferrari, who's, they want to, first of all, Charles and Carlos are super good. They both are amazing. So it doesn't make sense for them to, like, bring in a new person. But maybe for a backmarker team, that probably makes it even harder to want to invest in a new driver, because the points are so valuable, because you rely on that prize money so much more than the bigger teams themselves.
Yeah, that's one thing, like, in his post-race interview that he was like, they're like, how are you doing? He's like, I'm tired.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, dude, like, it was just a next level. Like, even, you know, he races F2,
it's just different.
Just totally different. Yeah. Like, you could, there's a photo of his like head protector thing, and the one side of it was just, like, crunched
in from
his head, just, like, smacking.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean,
you gotta get that neck strength up.
You do. I mean, this is a guy who's been racing his whole life, though, you know, so it's like, and he still hasn't built up the strength to drive this car. It's just crazy to think about. Yeah.
Well, I think he's charming, and he's I look forward to seeing a lot of him.
Yeah. The new scout watcher.
Behrman watcher. Leclerc moved up into third place in the Drivers' Championship, and Ferrari extended a lead over McLaren for a second place in the Constructors' standings.
Hell yeah. About 2 weeks ago, a racing version of a Ford Transit van took to the 6.2-kilometer Mount Panorama Circuit in Bathurst, Australia, and broke a bunch of records there, Justin. It has 1,400 horsepower. It's called the E-Transit Supervan 4.2.
I'm so happy they're still doing this.
Yeah, it's
really cool. I love Supervans.
Yeah, the Supervan Transit Van thing has been going on for a really long time. Long-standing
tradition for Ford.
And I think the first one I ever saw was on Top Gear. And it was just decimated like a F1 car or something crazy.
Yeah, it had like an F1 engine in it.
Right.
So wild. At the end of the weekend, the van had claimed three records, including the fastest closed closed-wheel vehicle. That's actually insane.
That's pretty good.
Fastest electric vehicle and fastest commercial vehicle.
Nice.
This thing was driven by two-time Le Mans winner Romain Dumas. It weighs nearly 4,000 pounds. Okay.
Wow.
The Mach-E 1400 weighs 5,000 pounds. That's the one that Vaughn drove?
Yeah.
This thing exceeded 186 miles per hour at times. That's so fast.
That track is so fast. Yeah, there's like one good straight and then there's this huge chicane.
That's crazy. Yeah. It set a lap time of 1 minute 56 seconds, 0.32, and beat a record time of 1:56.61, set only 8 days earlier by an unrestricted Mercedes AMG GT3 car. So this thing is serious. This has got.
Yeah.
That's real.
I mean, it looks insane.
Yeah.
It's a van in shape alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. The best time set by a V8 supercar that weekend was just over 9 seconds slower. So, I mean, and that's Australia's like premier race car right there.
Which is very fun to watch, by the way. Yeah. If you need an alternate to F1.
They're the coolest looking cars on the planet.
They're awesome. Yeah.
They have really cool rules too.
Yeah. Oh, really? Like you gotta,
if you oversteer, you can cut the corner.
That's kind of fun. That's so cool. Everybody's oversteering.
Yeah, and they drift on purpose.
That's sick.
They spray silver spray paint in their faces.
Yeah, I think I saw that.
They can jump from car to car.
The only car with a faster lap time at that circuit belongs to a McLaren F1 car, which set a lap time of 1:48.8 in 2011 with one Jenson Button behind the wheel. The Supervan was originally built to take on Pike's Peak as part of an event to bring more attention to Ford's EV performance division. Really cool, guys. Yeah. But Ford isn't the only traditional U.S. automaker dipping their little toesies.
Yeah, speaking of less gas and more power.
Oh, God.
Baby.
Yeah, we're going to talk. I've been waiting all episode to talk about
this. No one's been waiting this whole time. Dodge finally unveiled the long-awaited next-gen Charger.
Ooh, yeah.
As expected, Dodge announced an all-electric platform dubbed the Charger Daytona EV. But in a welcome surprise, the brand will also be offering a Hurricane 3-liter twin-turbo inline-six platform called the Charger Six-Pack.
The Six-Pack.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, they unveiled these cars with really.
It was so just weird.
I'll call it artistic. 10-minute long.
So reveal. Would they?
Yeah, I think they did. Reveal video. Tim Kaniskis, the head of.
I'll be in it.
Yeah, he was in it, and then the Dodge brothers also came back to life for it.
Yeah. Well, this isn't the first time that they've brought back the Dodge brothers.
No, but they actually
which is interesting because they're not like. The most famous founders. It's not like Ford is like, oh, let's bring back an actor to play Henry Ford.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's funny you mentioned actors because these were like AI faces.
Yeah.
Right?
Completely generated.
So. Were they really?
Yes, they were not real.
They didn't look real at all.
That's why they didn't speak either.
Yeah, that's right.
Which made it even worse.
So wait, Tim alone? Kaniskis.
It was just him. It was him.
He pulled his, like, Bo Burnham.
I think so.
Quarantine.
I think what special? they did like the
the guy from the Sonic the Hedgehog movies. Yeah. You know, you're working with people that don't exist.
I think what they did is they like the face mapping thing where you have actors stand in that kind of look like people, and then they put the other face on top.
I don't know, man. Even their bodies.
It looked terrible. It was really strange. Anyway, sorry. The premise of this. Reveal video is that Tim Kaniskis, head of SRT, goes back in time with the Charger EV Daytona to John and Horace Dodge at their factory, mm-hmm.
to tell them to keep kicking ass and not stop kicking ass. Keep doing what you're doing, gentlemen.
It really was. That was the only vibe of the just keep doing what you're doing because we got to build this thing.
I'm sure you're confused about why this thing is here.
I'm from the past. I'm from the future. Come back to tell you to keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
Don't change anything. Just keep kicking ass.
It was so
do we need
weird,
them
dude.
To develop an EV? No, we don't want them to.
Yeah.
We want them to.
It was bizarre.
Really, I just got to so let strange. Them know that I'm going to make an EV.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be for pussy.
Yeah, that was basically the vibe. Yeah, that, like that's the whole point of the video. It's like, hey, Dodge fans.
EV's not freaking lame.
Yeah. It's not lame. They said it had to be EV. They didn't say it had to be efficient.
That's literally a line from the video. Like it's
the whole thing is like
weird,
like weirdly like apologetic, not apologetic for making an EV. It was like, sorry, we're making an EV, but we're not sorry for fucking anything.
Yeah,
it was like Tom McDonald directed.
It was same green screen vibe. Super bizarre.
Ben Shapiro was in it. Yeah. Oh my god!
Literally, line is like, they don't want the Brotherhood to have an EV.
The Brotherhood.
Yeah, this is not the EV they
I
want.
Swear
the
to God,
it's
not a Brotherhood.
If there's not a Brotherhood trim, everything. I'm going to be so upset.
Yeah, like you said, apologetic and like. You're a rebel for buying this EV, which is such a strange angle to come at it from. I think a better way to do it would have in the video, he says it's faster, some metric faster than the Red Eye.
Just drag race the Red Eye.
Do that.
Yeah.
Have a minute long thing where you have the Red Eye sitting there and then the EV Daytona there and then just launch it. And that's your reveal video.
But instead he started drifting in a circle.
Oh yeah,
like he's at a takeover.
Oh my god!
And
he was at a takeover.
Yeah,
or he was like, that's what it is. Oh my god!
And he was talking while doing this.
Yeah,
and it was supposed to be counter steering, but it wasn't.
Yeah, it's so late, and it's like
it was because he had to remember all his lines.
Yeah,
he was reading a prompter.
Well, also it was a CG.
Inside
he was a warehouse. Yes, like, spinning around. It's so stupid. Yes. Just
immediately in the very beginning, he goes, all right, guys, get in. I promise I haven't been drinking.
Yeah, he does.
In a car commercial.
He does.
Made by the car company with the boss of the car company.
And I swear I haven't been drinking.
I swear I haven't been drinking.
That's so cool.
What?
It's just like, if you haven't watched this yet, if you somehow have not seen this, watch the whole thing. It is totally worth it. It's 10 minutes long. It's insane. I think the car is going to look great in person. I'm really excited. Even in like photos and stuff, I'm stoked on it. But
the interior is nice looking.
It's got a hatchback. It's like one of those trunk hatchback things, fold down seats. Like it looks really cool. I'm a little concerned, you know, like a platform that does both gas and electric.
Which one did they develop it for?
Yeah, a little strange.
Yeah.
But I think it'll be great. I think it's going to sell like hotcakes as long as the pricing is good.
And their commercials are better.
The commercial's so good. Six pack's gonna have 420 horsepower.
Nice.
Standard output. Or they're gonna have an HO trim for high output.
Nice.
With 550 horsepower. Daytona RT, 496 horse. Oh my god! Right out of the gate, they have so many trims. It's Dodge. Daytona RT, 496 horsepower. Daytona Scat Pack, 670 horsepower. Daytona SRT Banshee with 807. Evan horsepower. It's going to replace the Hellcat. No longer Hellcat. Now we got a Banshee.
You know, the thing about the Banshee, like, sound that they keep
it sounds about, weird.
Well, they've never played it while it's driving. It's always revving. Is it just a button you press and it revs?
Probably.
Or is it something that actually goes with the pedal while you're driving?
It's going to be a speaker.
It's dumb.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, it'll be like one of those weird things that we talk about in 10 years. Like, remember they put a big old speaker
in my bumper and then we rewired it for my sound system.
That's a good idea, though. Like, put it in party mode and just park it at the meet or whatever. And you have your tunes playing. Your tunes. You got your music.
You got your tunes playing.
I mean, that's a good idea, though.
There's also a rumored 1,000 horsepower model in the pipeline. Everything's going to be offered as 2 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
I believe.
Yep.
Both EV and ICE models will look identical almost. Grills are different. Front bumper and hood.
Yeah, it looks a lot.
Well, I imagine that hood scoop isn't there for the
I think ICE it
is. One. I like that hood
the,
scoop.
The scoop is sick.
It's really cool.
Yeah. But you can see on the bumper, it has a lot more cooling passages on the the gas one.
Mm-hmm.
Makes
mm-hmm.
sense. Yeah.
It's called Fratsonic.
Fratsonic.
Exhaust. Fratsonic.
Because the frats are going to be on it.
The frats are going to be on it.
Yeah. They're going to be on it. Yeah, that's weird.
They're really good at naming stuff. The transmission.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not just faking the sound.
Okay.
They're also faking shifting because in electric cars, you don't have a transmission.
Oh, boy.
So they guess what it's called? It's called the erupt.
Yeah, because it erupts your acceleration.
Yeah.
Interrupts it.
Interrupts
really
it.
Strange. Some EVs do have like, I know the Taycan has a two-speed uh-huh. transmission. I don't know.
But, like, one of the cool things about electric cars is, like, you don't have to really shift.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just keep pulling.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So I just feel like this is, like, another thing that's, like so apologetic.
Yeah.
And it all feels like when I was a kid, they made these, like, bicycles that looked like dirt bikes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this just feels like that. Like, it's like the same guys who had those when they were kids are like, yeah, but this is what people are going to care about. It's like, no, they don't. You don't need to make an eject.
Just because it's new doesn't mean it's good.
I hope it's
well, good, like, though. Driving like a 918 like Porsche, it's cool that it doesn't shift. It just pulls the entire time. Like, that's a cool thing that comes with electric. And so they're focusing. A cool thing that comes with electric is, like, yeah, they sound different. Like, a Taycan sounds awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just undoing and not embracing the technology. And they're just coming off costumey.
It's a little
clownish.
It's
much weird. Like the reveal video.
Yeah.
I mean, I really hope the reveal video is not representative of the final product. I really hope.
But the list, I'm not even done with the list of things like that yet.
Okay.
They've also patented a thing called active vibration enhancement, which is designed to simulate engine vibrations.
Just buy the one with the engine.
It's almost like they built a crappy car. And they started coming up with,
like, it's bizarre
reasons,
like,
for the weird effects.
But if you look at the reveal video and then you look at this list of options, you're like, oh, yeah, the same guys came up with that.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, that's it's true. So stupid.
Like the shaker hood, you know?
Like, just like, shaker's yeah, you cool. know, what if
it hey, is cool, but then you're
you know
like,
one well, thing,
why is my engine shaking so much?
You know one thing that everyone's going to miss? Shaking.
Yeah.
So what if we just make the car shake?
That's so
oh my god, damn, that's such
and
a good good idea.
Energy from the battery is going to power this thing.
How much does this thing weigh?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, how much does that speaker under your bumper weigh?
It's very Chrysler, though. Like, just over the course of their history, they've always had weird, like the shaker hood's a great example. I love the shaker hood personally, but that's a great example of some weird gimmick. Like the in-car record player.
Yeah, that's
that was in the 50s.
Like, we don't like how digital music sounds, so we had developed a thing called the a phonograph.
it's so bizarre, but I'm honestly can't wait to drive these cars.
I'm sure the car is going to end up being good and cool, and I can't wait to drive both of them, like all of them.
Yeah,
but I can't imagine anything less cool
than fake stuff.
Than that fake stuff and the debut video. If you put me in a room for 2 weeks and we're like, James, come up with the worst shit you can possibly think of, I would not even come close.
I couldn't even think of that.
It's bizarre. Yeah.
It truly is one of the most bewildering pieces of automotive marketing I've seen since I've worked in this business.
Just so arrogant. It's like, no, I've never seen a fucking movie, but I bet I can make one better than here's what the people want.
Here's my Shia Hulud. How about
that? Yeah, it's my Shia Hulud.
I got a Shia Hulud for you right here.
And then they release a takeover model. Yeah,
it's so bizarre, dude.
And we're doomed.
It's so bizarre. Right. Anyway.
They know their market.
It's so crazy.
That's the thing. Like, throughout the whole thing, I even sent it to
maybe we're not,
like,
the target audience.
Dude, I was like, this is bizarre, but it is going to work for them.
Their market is 18-year-old dudes who just joined the military.
Marjorie Taylor Greene loved it.
Yeah.
She loved it.
That's
cinema.
They just joined the military. They just got their first couple checks.
Yeah.
They live on base. What else are you going to do?
Yeah. Watch Donut. Yeah. All right. Thanks for tuning in to the Big Three. We'll be here every Wednesday. Some of us will. Turns out it'll be very inconsistent. We don't know who hosts this show. It's supposed to be those guys. But Justin, thank you so much for filling in for Joe while
he's sneezed. Oh, I thought that was a bit.
Joining the Foreign Legion. Follow Donut and Donut Podcast on social media. Follow us. Subscribe to the YouTube channel so you don't miss anything. This is a lot of fun, guys. Pray for Nolan's cat and pray for my dog. She doesn't sleep in the bed anymore.